Welcome to another episode of the Midler's Podcast. In this podcast, we interview Mohsin Abbas, currently in Canada. Mohsin is originally from Pakistan and has deep roots in South Asia. Mohsin is a journalist who has done work with the BBC, as well as maintains his own website, diversityreporter.com. Bill and Yusuf, in this episode of the podcast, meet with Mohsin and discuss with him in a free-form and extemporaneous way about the integration between East and West. Sunia.
Exciting podcast and episode of The Midlers. I'm here with my friend Bill, and this is Yusuf, and we're really excited to have on our guest today, Mohsin Abbas. Mohsin, welcome to The Midlers.
Thank you for having me.
So we're really excited about having Mohsin on our podcast, quite frankly, because Mohsin has something that's really, really integral and in common with Bill and I. Mohsin has a passion for telling South Asian American, South Asian Canadian stories about individuals and personalities, and also about the South Asian community. And I was really struck by a very interesting article that Mohsin wrote in Dawn Online Magazine. Dawn is a Pakistani newspaper that has a really, really high circulation, and he wrote an interesting article about a Sikh gentleman who went back to his home after the partition, and that gentleman's experience throughout South Asia, traveling on a bicycle throughout different towns in South Asia. So I was really struck by that. I got a hold of Mohsin, and I said, we need you to be on The Midler so we can explore our passions together about South Asian stories. So, Mohsin, welcome. And I wanted to start off about asking you about your experience, how you got into this work of telling South Asian stories, and then we'll get into talking about diversityreporter.com, which is an award-winning website that you started.
So, partition of British India was always my favorite subject from the time I was growing up in Pakistan, where I was born and raised, city called Sialkot, bordering Kashmir border, that region. And when I was growing up, I always was curious after every time I listened to a story from a grandma about talking about Sikhs, talking about Indians. I was curious, being a very young child, that how they look like, how they work, what they do, why she has so much knowledge about them, and I cannot see them. And gradually, when I was in middle school, I started skipping the school after I learned that the border of India was very close from my hometown. And I was growing up in a village that time, and I started skipping school, going to the border, trying to get the answer that was stuck in my head. And eventually, I ended up becoming a local writer, and I ended up joining news outlets. And finally end up coming to Canada. And my interest in that and the curiosity about the South Asian subject and partition was always as alive as from day one when I was growing up. And when I came to Canada, the first job I landed with the Toronto Star was that time doing a story for them on South Asia. And I felt very confident doing stories about South Asia because I have interest in it. And I always, even I was not writing some stuff, but for my own satisfaction, I always want to dig deeper and learn more. And partition was one of the main subjects I always had interest and have still have interest. So anytime I see an opportunity, I try to connect the dots and try to find a story in South Asia. So then I moved on and kept working with Hamilton Spectator, did a lot of stuff for Toronto Star. And we even, Toronto Star wanted to launch a magazine on South Asia called Desi Life back in 2006, 7, those years. And I was in the founding team of that magazine, a glossy, nice, fancy magazine for South Asian. So it was kind of working well for me because I have interests in it and there was a demand for it. So I ended up covering more stuff on around and about South Asian subjects. While I was in Toronto, I was covering Bollywood, a lot of film festival there, a lot of immigration news related to South Asians. And alongside, there was a lot of partition stories. Every time I go do something, meet an Indian person, especially meet a Sikh person or subject of my story, they end up picking a conversation with me based on my accent, based on my region I was born. So that kind of brought me closer and closer and closer to Indo-Canadian community. So I kind of end up having a lot of story ideas and a lot of subjects to write about. So I kept writing for past 12 years for BBC World Services. I did stories for the Hindi site, for Urdu site, and many other South Asian section they have. So for radio and web. So I kind of become happy at the same time. You know, being a reporter, you are lucky if you have stories and ideas, and you are luckier if you have even a chance to publish them. So gradually I kept publishing those stories. And I did quite a few years in Ontario and Toronto area. Then I said, well, I want to do more research. And I quit my job there, and I moved to a new company, Transcon, a big publishing group in Saskatchewan province. And I went to a small town with a population of 30,000. And guess what I found there? Half of the town was delivered when they were born was by one surgeon, and she was from India, from Delhi. And it was very exciting to meet her and do a story on her. And then gradually kept going up north almost to the Yellowknife and found taxi driver doctors driving taxis in Yellowknife and mosque being built in a small northern community Inuit. And so during that time, my child's mother moved to Victoria because she wanted to get her education in Victoria, BC. So I had to quit the job and move close to the family. And I came here, and there was a huge wide world full with South Asian stories. British Columbia got about 500,000 South Asian living here. Every corner had a story, and most of the population is Sikh from South Asia, and that gave me another opportunity to dig deeper and satisfy my soul by sniffing and searching those stories that I had, all those questions were being answered that I had when I was growing up. Because a lot of old Sikhs were available here to talk to me, and they were very open, and that's how. And then I said, well, I got a pile of ideas, so why not go back to Saskatchewan, even I moved West Coast, and go back to Toronto. And I frequently travel for work and tell people these stories in a series. So I talked to Don, and I said, I want to do this series of stories on South Asian subjects and educate and inform people on South Asian subjects living in Canada. And they were very interested, so we kind of doing those stories for Dawn and Diversity Reporter, my own publication, and I'll come to that later, why how it started. And it's going well, and I'm very thrilled and overwhelmed, not just people reading it. Doing those stories, a lot of people send me questions, a lot of people from India, they want to know about Pakistan's side where they were born. Are themselves or their ancestors or people same way people from Pakistan. And a lot of people from Australia, from the UK, USA, Eastern Europe, and in Canada itself contacting me some people want to see a picture of their home, where their father was born, or where he or she was born. And the same way the children, the curious. Like, I thought, oh, I'm not the only one who was curious. There are millions out there who want to bring that part of the world, India and Pakistan, into peace. They want to see peace. So when I get that kind of a feedback in very early stages of these stories in Toronto, I said, this way I can help to bring some love and peace to the community that was divided in two countries. And young generation is very open and very welcoming and happy about the fact that they all want to see peaceful South Asia. And I feel really proud that I'm doing these stories.
That's so fascinating, Mohsen. I just for our listeners, if you could just take a few moments and tell us about the. I know you've done work in the United States as well. If you can tell us a little bit about the difference and the distinction between the South Asian community in the U.S. versus Canada, that would be very helpful.
I think I traveled a few times. On and off in the U.S., different part of the U.S., especially California, New York, Washington, D.C. areas. There I did not find that kind of feeling that you get in Canada. In Canada, I found events very mixed. If Diwali is there, I saw a lot of mix. I might be wrong because I did not live that long in U.S. side, but here things, I found them very, in a more peaceful way. People are more like open to the dialogue than in the U.S. And a young generation here, because it's a big number of South Asian born in Canada, they feel a little different.
South Asians have been settled in Canada longer than they have in the U.S.? Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, about 125 years ago, South Asian, where I'm speaking from now, Victoria, British Columbia, that's where the Sikh soldiers came along the Queen's Guard in 125 years old. So they have old history. They've been almost third, fourth generation in Canada. So they're not fresh off the boat like the people that come to U.S. because I see U.S. have newer immigration from South Asia comparatively if we're talking to Canada. So Canadian people here, like you don't see differences and divisions when it's come to Diwali or when it's come to Eid or when it's come to Navratri or any South Asian holiday. I found communities working very close and together.
That's interesting. And I also, before we go into your work in Canada, can you tell us a little bit about your work experience in South Asia itself and what it was like, what has been the turning point or sort of a divergent path in your work? You reporting within Pakistan is very different than reporting on the South Asian community in Canada, I assume. So can you tell us a little bit about your work in the subcontinent?
Yeah, I was working there mainly for the Daily Pakistan, one of the largest daily at the time, Urdu Daily, and I never wanted to work outside the small towns. I wasn't working in my region because I always believe if you're on the ground, no matter how small publication or reporting team you are, you work as the best team, as the best expert from the region you come from or you had experience. So I always was offered to come and work in Lahore or Karachi. I did frequently, but not permanently. Occasionally I went there to work for my work stories, but I always wanted to be in the ground where I had more experience, where I have more knowledge. And I found there that rural communities outside the urban settings are not well covered in the newspapers. So that was another reason that was keeping me there, because he said, if everybody moved to big city, who's going to tell the story of our town? So me coming to journalism was kind of accidental. Initially, I used to write letters to editor, like small things, post box missing in town, or some old building getting rotten, or need repairs, stuff like that. So, and I said, and today if I think of that, and I said, well, if I was not making noise, I wasn't voice enough for those things, there might not be too many people out there. So it was a good thing I stayed there. And that same training, honestly, I apply when I report out of smallest possible communities in Canada. I don't have to go dig big modules and manuals of people who gay school ideas. I just use the same training and tool I use in Pakistan, because and that helped me a lot to do, and that's one of the key of my success to finding good stories in smallest possible town in Canada. Like, I have reported in a town where there are only, like, it's not even town or even village or community, 20 houses or 50 houses, those kind of communities. I went and I dig some stuff, and I was successful by using the same tools in the small town. And talking about the bigger media, I work as a fixer with many foreign outlets from my region in Pakistan. But disadvantage was foreign journalists come, you work for them, you are a fixer with them, a translator, local source, but they leave. And they leave a baggage of problem for you. So that was challenging part. Sure. That's why they always get better treatment, because they come, they do the story, they foreigners, they get protection, they leave. Now we are there to get the bullet. And many of my friends lost their lives there just because they were working with a foreign journalist. They came, they got their story, they left. And many of them, it's very sad to say, never looked back what happened to their families, what they're going through. And after having those kind of experiences, I gave up most of my work, fixer work, because I didn't want to put my family in trouble.
That's understandable. And, you know, Mohsen, I'm really curious about your work there was dangerous work for obvious reasons that you just told us about. How about your work in Canada reporting about, I know you also run an online magazine called Awaz, and it's in Urdu. And so some of the writing, I'm sure, is political, et cetera. So how about your security here and any backlash that you're getting from, let's say, political parties or people back in Pakistan here? Is that an issue?
I'm glad you brought this question. Yesterday I was talking to one of my contributors who wrote a column for one political party, and he's based in Toronto. And he got some calls from the party's headquarters. Even he belongs to the same party, he has sympathies for the same party, but when he wrote his piece, it was an opinion piece, he was a bit critical to the political party, and he was sent a message through some party sources to him that you should be careful, but comparatively safer to write and survive or stay alive, I'll say, in Canada than in Pakistan. But threats are very usual, not just doing this Awaz.ca, or awazcanada.com, that's the same website we're running out of Canada. But the threats are always there. Even I left Pakistan, and when I was working, I did some stories for BBC, Urdu service I did, brought me some threats and even lawsuits. You know, people try to right away run to the lawyer and threat you by sending a notice and stuff like that.
And these are lawsuits in Pakistan.
Yeah, I got a couple of lawsuit notices. Even I was in Canada, and the story had connection with Pakistan, basically.
It was
a story of Pervez Musharraf's election time, and there was another story where one of the former president's son was talked in one of my story about a Canadian woman being killed in Pakistan that time. So those kind of stories, and some other stories, not just there, even Pakistani community or within Canada, sometimes you fear when you're putting your words on the paper, especially some political, because political influence is growing among Protestant communities here, and some religious sectors also try to pressurize you or threat you or even send you a hidden message, you know, watch out, we're watching and you should not be doing that. But we have to tell the story, right? But comparatively comparing to Pakistan, it is safer to do here. But threats always follow you no matter where you go, because especially we're living in the age of internet, right? It takes no time to spread the story. And it, of course, sitting in Canada writing some stuff have impact on Pakistani society. And I would love to make the difference. And I'm glad living in North America, at least we enjoy that freedom of speech. But for these Urdu sites, we've been a little bit careful saying some things, because more than our lives, we are worried about the health of the website, because we don't want people to try to hack our site or cause this problem. If we are in a very early stage. We're not very old. We put 8-9 month old in the Urdu version. And I'm glad people liking it. And we're giving opportunity to young writers, young listeners, and we take in any form of story. Doesn't matter, it's video, audio, text, because I believe in telling the story. I have a joke. I always tell the students when I go to speak to students in Canada, I said, you never hold your pee or story. Tell it on time or do it on time. Otherwise, it's dangerous to hold it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mohsen, it's Bill. Question for you. So you're intrigued by partition stories, and it's of interest to me, although it doesn't relate to my question. It's of interest to me that you currently live in a country that is struggling with a partition decision of its own in Canada. But as the partition of India and Pakistan fades farther into history, as the people who remember it firsthand become quite aged and pass on, as is happening with every passing year, how is the memory of the partition surviving? And is it evident in Canada that some of the echoes of the partition event are manifested even in a place as far away as British Columbia?
I think I saw some very, very major changes. When I was growing up in Pakistan, there was a hate among people against India, and I believe same way in India, when I traveled India. That was actually the first country I went overseas, was India, back in 1990. And since that time, people were expressing hate towards each other. About 10 years experience in Canada, I saw that hate fading out. Even those people who are aging, they have changed their mind. So that's where I get the hope that democratic places really play a role to nourish the communities and nations. So I see Canada playing a great role to bring both nations together, and the big impact is because there's a big diaspora living in Canada from both countries, India and Pakistan, and working together, growing together, and wishing and dreaming to implement the same thing in the native country, Pakistan or India. So I see impact of society in general on those aging people, and of course there's big impact on the generations born here. And I see light at the end of the tunnel. I see the people living abroad from both countries, aging people, or the generations born here, will be the key player to bring change to South Asia. And look at the German. Berlin Wall had to go one day, right? And I see, hope. I'm hoping in my lifetime, seeing positive things happening. And I'm glad a lot of good things happened in the past few years. And more and more I talk to people, more and more they want to see peace. Like, nobody want to wake up every morning and read a news book bomb blast from back home or a Hindu hardliners protest or a Taliban burning down schools kind of thing. So all these people, I think mentalities has been changing. Even number of aging people are less, but out of those less number of aging people, majority now want to see peace. Even they were angry when partition happened. Of course, it was a very horrific time in their life. It had huge traumatic impact on this, on them, but they're coping with it. And I think they're finding out the best thing to heal from those wounds is to bring peace in that region, because nobody want to see their children suffering and sacrificing the hateful lives, right? So they want them to grow in a healthy and happy society. And there's a big trend of South Asian people born in North America going back. And of course, if they want to go back and work in India, Pakistan, they want to see that place a peaceful and happy place. And I think it's happening, and I'm hoping best for it.
Great answer. Thanks. And so let me ask another question based on your time in South Asia. As you know, I lived in India for a couple of years, and I've expressed this to Yusuf as well. Spending time in India, seeing the Indian media, gaining the confidence of people on the ground, there was an increasing trend I saw in myself that whenever something difficult would happen in India, I knew that the media would start to say it's Pakistan. But I also saw myself saying that. And I had no skin in the game. I had no ancestors that have had any difficulties or candidly even been to that part of the world. As I've learned, especially from Yusuf and taking part in the Middle Earth podcast, Pakistan's a very diverse place. There's urban centers and rural centers and Sufi and Sunni and Shia Islam alongside each other, sometimes with difficulty, but they're all manifesting. Some remaining Sardar communities. As a whole, I think Pakistan is not that well understood. What would you have listeners understand about Pakistan that might be biased by some notions they have today? What would you correct in the listener's understanding of modern-day Pakistan?
I would say we work on a project right now. I'm traveling in late January. It's called Beyond the Headline, Pakistan Today. It's a documentary about telling people what real Pakistan is. And then the idea came up with the producer I was working in the past with PBS and the outlet we work with. And during a conversation, the idea was born that everybody here read news, right? And media, that's another reason I'm running away from daily outlets in North America and working on more like different portals and venues. I want people to read. Instead of newspapers, I want them to read books about the region. I want them to read how Pakistan, that geographical piece of land, was in 1880, how that was in 1890. You know, I want them to read beyond the headlines, because headlines are not describing. That's what we've been doing on our Awaz Canada, our website, telling people that why Taliban in Pakistan are growing is not just Pakistan, it's outsider, and we're not blaming West. Like everybody's using that piece of land for their own gain, because Saudi Arabia have a huge influence in the region, for example, and they're pushing their sect there. And of course, they're going to have clash with Shia people, and that can have impact on Iran, because Saudi Arabia and Iran are not allies, they're enemies, right? So people have been using that land as a transit. That place had been used as a transit for warriors, because anybody went from Macedonia, Alexander the Great, to India, but he transited through Pakistan and the road we call Grand Trunk Road. So there's history. I want people to, and the history revived, and at so many times things happen in the same locations. I want North American listeners through your program and so other platforms, that they should read beyond the headline. They should go to the library, pick up a book, and read what that place is like, you know. I read some books, fascinating books written by North Americans about that part. A Seattle-based writer, I think he wrote a book, I can't recall his name, I think Survived Safe in Pakistan. He spent time and he put his experiences, and people still traveling in time of this much danger and all the news. If I read news, honestly, I don't want to go back. But I travel there frequently from my work and from my family. The moment you land there and the comfort and the welcome and all this, you feel it's very normal. If you count the number of death toll we read in newspaper, let's say in the Blast, for example, and you compare that death toll to the traffic accidents in one province of Canada or one state in the U.S., I would say it's the same number sometimes because they are not reported. But news outlets from there reporting mostly negative news. Very rare positive news is coming out because if there's a positive news in North America, not every outlet is interested to report that because everybody's running this competition, this war of media, and they want to be exclusive. And in that war, negative news get the most space, but not the positive. Even in the hub of the war on terrorism, Waziristan, right? We published a story last week about the water issues, right? I think that's more important. That's killing more people. The contaminated water is killing more people than the people being killed by Taliban. So those issues are also important. We forget that there are things beyond these breaking news. Health issues, educational issues, social issues, cultural issues, right? Training of the journalists. They're like, you name it. There's so much out there. And the best way, I think, is books. People should read the books because they are written in details and they have more knowledge on the culture and the region. And as, like, the city I was born is 6,000 years old city. And I'm 37, 38 years old guy. And I haven't finished knowing maybe 10% of the city. How I can talk with the whole country easily, right? So people should read more. And I think that will give them sense. It's a beautiful place. Even tourists still going. Even we see, if we read the newspaper, there's a war there. But if we see the real life, people traveling. It's hard to sometimes find a seat to go because people traveling and enjoying the time there.
Yeah, Mohsen, looking beyond the headlines is always excellent advice, so thanks for that.
So for our listeners, I want to reiterate, first of all, www.diversityreporter.com is the site that Mohsen edits, and there's some fascinating stories about South Asians, their art and culture, their travel, their sports, lifestyle. I'm sure for someone who's a South Asian enthusiast, it's really a great destination, so check it out. Also, you'll find a link to awaz.ca, which is the Urdu magazine that Mohsen talked about. Mohsen, I want to thank you so much for coming on to our podcast and giving us a point of view, quite frankly, that we don't hear often. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing in telling South Asian American, South Asian, Canadian stories. So I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.